Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's broadcast of Firefly Willows LIVE. Our hosts this week are Tarot by High Seas, High Sea Lutmers, and John Carosella, who works with runes and animal totems. We're opening up the phone lines to our listeners for live on-air readings. Do you have a concern, or is there a situation you'd like guidance with? Get your question ready and join us by calling 1-646-716-5510 or by using the Skype button on the Firefly Willows LIVE show page at Blog Talk Radio after the show begins broadcasting. We're excited. Give us a listen. Firefly Willows LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our show today. Thank you for joining us a couple of days before Christmas and during all of the holiday rush. We're grateful to have you here. And just a reminder, as you just heard, if you want to receive a reading during the show today, you can either Skype in from the show page or you can call in, and the phone number is 646-716-5510. And I am joined today, this is High C, by the way, I'm joined today by my fellow co-host, John Carosella. Hello, John.
Good morning.
Welcome, and glad you're here.
I'm delighted to be here on this very rainy post-solstice Sunday.
Yes, and speaking of the solstice, I wondered if you might want to share with us a little bit. You were part of organizing and leading a very big and successful solstice event. Maybe you want to share a little bit about what that was and how that went.
Oh, well, boy, that was a lot of fun. On Friday evening, we gathered at Stillheart in up in the hills of Woodside. And, you know, we had a major party. We took a look at the Mayan calendar and then understood the nature of the cycles of time that have brought us to this point and the emergence of the new aspirations of the planet. And we drummed and danced to release our past. And then we entered the void to set our intentions for what comes next. And then we had a rebirth ceremony. And I know that I really enjoyed it. And when the evening was over, I felt a very fresh kind of power, that just stayed with me all evening into the night and into the next morning. So it was really beautiful. And my thanks to everybody who participated. It was really, really fulfilling and powerful. So it was great to have everybody there.
And did you mention how many people there were?
Oh, I think we had about 120 people, which was as much as the room could handle. And I know that some people wanted to come, and we had to say, unfortunately, that we didn't have room. So I hope everyone's solstice evening was full of that kind of special magic that that this time, this cosmological moment, is offering us.
Well, and if anybody wasn't able to come, then hopefully they will get it on their calendars for 26,000 years from now, so that they can make sure that they're planned ahead of time. Not that there won't be solstices between now and then, but just this particular configuration. And I know that there were a couple of people from the Mayan tradition, Mayan lineage there, and many people had questions about what 2012 was really about. Could you maybe just share a little bit of what you learned from them that this seemed to be about? Obviously, it was not about the end of the world, because either we're waking up from that dream that we were in and finding that the dream continues even when we've awakened from it, or the apocalypse that was predicted didn't happen and it was about something else.
Well, I think the apocalypse did happen. You know, in some way, what I think we're seeing is that the old way of doing things, the old way of trying to dominate, trying to exploit and living unsustainably is actually falling apart. It is cataclysmically collapsing. And, you know, that doesn't mean that folks won't continue to try to hold it together. But I think the transition from the old to the new is the transition from trying to dominate to trying to work in cooperation. And, you know, dominating, look, let's be honest, the dominating cycle that we were in worked really well for a long time and put us in a place where there are 7 billion humans on the planet. You know, that's not something to say, well, you know, that was a dumb thing to do, because it worked. And I think now we're starting to realize that doing it that way is getting harder and harder. And I think we reached the point, and this transition marks it, where doing things the wrong way, doing things the unsustainable way, doing things the exploitative and dominating way is actually going to become harder. And in fact, I imagine that it is now harder to do things the wrong way than to do things in the sustainable, gentle, nurturing way. And the Mayan calendar cycle is, you know, it has taken us from that period of darkness into a period of emergence into the light. And I'm excited to have been blessed by the Mayan timekeepers' insights on the nature of this calendar and the nature of the change. I'm trying to pull one specific thing out that we heard from Abel and Amor when they were there. Abel, Kozkatli, and Amor Luz were there to help us with interpreting the calendar. And
I think for me the biggest thing, the theme that came out, is that we're moving into kind of more of a conscious unity and a cooperative aspect of working together rather than all working individually or separately or egotistically.
Right, right. The days of the lone wolf are over. Right, and now our rugged individualism has served us well, but cooperation and community is what is going to be the path forward from now on.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing a little bit about that.
Hey, I had a question for you.
Oh, okay.
There's some big astrological stuff going on in the heavens over the past weekend, too. And in particular, do you know about the Yod?
Well, yes. A Yod or a Yod,
Yod
is called the finger of God, and it would basically look like a triangle. So you have two planets at the base, and then they're both pointing towards or kind of coming together at the planet that's at the point, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, let's see, I have to try to remember which of the three planets
Jupiter was at the point, and it was Pluto and Uranus.
Yeah,
I think.
Let's see. Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto.
Oh, Saturn. Okay.
So Saturn and Pluto are at the base. Jupiter is at the point.
Right. I mean, that sounds pretty good for Jupiter being at the point. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
Sure. And think of like the point acting like a magnifying glass. Well, Jupiter is a good thing, yes. And there's a sense that, especially right now, we have this opportunity to think about big plans, to how we want to expand, to what kind of things we want to do to be successful. But Jupiter also can then, if it's a magnifying glass, it can also lead to overindulgence. So we can tend to, it's kind of like our eyes are bigger than our stomach, or we spend more than we really have because we get carried away. We can see how this is not the best kind of thing during the holiday season, because this tends to be a time when people tend to overindulge.
Yeah.
So it reminds us to pull back just a little bit. But a yod in general is a sense of focusing the energy. So think of like all the energies coming to that point in order to take specific action, and especially action that's related to the energies of the planets that are involved. So that's why I say like having a plan, because this is a really good time with Jupiter there. It's kind of like focusing the energies towards where do I go from here? What do I want to expand? How do I want to grow? What? And Jupiter even tends to be a lucky planet. So it's also saying if I'm willing to start doing this now, then I will likely be lucky, or luck will be on my side, or the fates will be on my side to help me be successful in being able to do this.
So that sounds pretty good with Jupiter at the point. What is the at the apex? What is Saturn?
Well, see, so Saturn is the limiter. Saturn is where we learn how to have structure and discipline and how to say no. So there can be a little bit of a push-pull aspect there, but that Saturn kind of helps to rein in a bit of the Jupiter aspect. And Pluto is about power. It's about personal power, and kind of liberating ourselves to be ourselves, to do the things that we know are right for us, rather than living according to other things, other people, other dictates, as well as freeing ourselves from bondage. I think of it as empowerment, because it's how we see where we need to take the power back, rather than feeling that we're the victim and have no power to do or change something in ourselves or in our lives. So there's a sense with these three that we're kind of looking at an adjustment in attitude or direction, if we want to find the solutions or the resolutions that we're really striving for. And if we're not willing to let go of that, or to change that, or to shift that attitude or that direction or that way of doing things, then we can't complain that something hasn't happened or changed in the way we would have liked. We can't continue doing or acting in the same way, expecting other things to change, versus us being willing to start being the source of putting the change into motion or action. And then Jupiter will come in to really say, okay, I see that you're doing that now, here, whoom, this is how we can make that successful. But it's because of the changes in attitude and action that we have initiated, rather than something outside of us that we wait to change, hoping that it'll be the way that we want.
So it sounds like personal power and self-discipline, representing Pluto and Saturn, supported by Pluto and Saturn, can be combined to accelerate us, to thrust us forward into the kinds of changes that that Jupiter represents, you know, big and fulfilling and self-actualizing.
Right.
Does that sound right?
Yeah. And so there's a sense, if you look to the point, it says aim big, dream big. It's okay for you to go after big goals or big aspirations, say in the coming year. However, that base says, as long as at the base you're willing to make the necessary adjustments and changes and know that you have the power to do this, rather than it being dependent on or up to something outside of you.
Well, I think that's pretty auspicious for entering and, you know, for transiting the solstice, to have that kind of yod in place. And it just seems like yod. I guess it's called a yod.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's said either way.
To have that support at this time, when we're going through such a major cosmological moment with the sun aligning with the center of the galaxy, seems like we're tuned up for a big year.
Oh, sure. But it's also a big shakeup, because you have the whole Uranus-Pluto square in there as well. And so it's having the willingness to change things in a radical way, or to revolutionize yourself or your approach to something, and then having the discipline to stick with it and to see it through and to take the necessary actions, rather than just curling up in a ball because everything is changing and you feel like you have no control over it, versus you recognizing, how do I work with this change, even if there's things happening outside of my control, rather than if it's not the change that I want to initiate, well, then I give up.
Yeah, we can't have that. Nobody's allowed to give up. Everybody has. We got a lot of dry powder, Jupiter is leading the charge for us. Personal power in Pluto and the self-discipline that we know we've all been working on all these years.
Well, and you get into the outer planets like Pluto and Uranus. So there's a collective aspect, like it's looking at it in the bigger picture or as a part of the whole of humanity rather than just the individual self. And there was a quote that I really liked, and I try to remember who it was by, but it really seems like the perfect quote to use as our mantra moving into not only 2013, but kind of this new age that started with the solstice. And the quote is from, I just wanted to look really quick, Byron Katie. And if we can just use this as our mantra, I think that we'll see an amazing change, not only in ourselves, but also in the world around us and in the world at large. So the mantra for 2013 and beyond is, I love, I care, how can I help?
Fantastic. One of the messages that I got leading up to the solstice event was these new energies call us to be the divine lap on which others are comforted. So I love, I care, how can I help? Seems like it's a perfect match.
Yes. And it's not, it's remembering that it's not just us that is saying that to someone else, always offering to help someone else. It's also knowing that, A, others will also be saying that back to us, as well as it's open, it lets it be open for us to be able to ask for help when we need it. Because when we ask, we will get that kind of response as well. So if we can start fostering that attitude in ourselves and acting in that way, we'll find it reflected back to us and available to us in the world around us as well. So,
pretty good news, I think, all the way around.
Yeah. So I'm very excited because we already have four people waiting on the line for readings from all over the country. We're going to go from Mississippi to New Jersey to Minneapolis to Illinois. So I think that we might just want to jump into those.
All righty.
We will take a little breath, have a little bit of festive music to play throughout the show, being the holiday and all. So I think that we'll take just a little moment to transition into doing the readings and have a little music, and then that'll just be for a minute or so, and then when we come back, we'll go to our first reading.
Sounds great.
All right.
Frost grows outside the window. First kiss under the mistletoe. Oh, 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 oh. Bell chime inside a steeple. Open the door, see the people sing. Oh, 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 oh. And when the snow is falling down, 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 you'll know that Santa's back in downtown, town. That's when it's Christmas time again. Give you your gift to
Enjoyed that little ditty.
It was not what I expected, I tell you.
Well, you know, I figured the time for, you know, Silent Night and all these little flowy songs. Enough of that, people. It's time for a little upbeat. Let's go and enjoy the time.
All right.
So our first caller is calling from Mississippi. LaShondra, are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
And welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And do you want to let us know what it is that you'd like to ask about today?
Yes. I had an interview on Tuesday for a job at a college, and I'm just wondering if you can hire me at the college, if not this position, another position. And so, and will you see me working?
Okay. And do you want to start, John, or do you want me to?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just shuffling away here.
LaShondra, are you asking about specifically about work at this location, or are you asking about work in particular?
Work at this location at the college.
Work at the college, okay.
Because you just had an interview there, right?
Yes.
Well, the first cards that came up actually are kind of promising. So that they seem to indicate that this would be a good match for you. Therefore, that would probably indicate that they also would feel that this is a good match. Now, the one thing that I think they're really needing is someone with a bit of maturity. So there, it may be like experience or something like that. So there may be either would need from you to be an indication that you have some experience or knowledge in what it is that they're looking for, rather than what they don't want is someone who's new and that they're going to have to really train or try to show how to do this position versus somebody who already is able to step into the position with some knowledge and experience in that. So do you feel that you were able to have that for the position that you interviewed for?
Yes, I've been doing it on my own, like, you know, helping people in school and everything on my own. And so I just want to do it professionally now. And they were also looking at the fact that I am almost done with my master's degree in adult education. And so, you know, that was also a big plus for me as well. She did mention in the interview that I'm most closely matched with admissions. The position I interviewed for was career services. So that's why I asked, do you see them hire me for that position or another position at the company?
I would encourage you to, if you need to do something in order to be considered for the admissions position, I would encourage you to consider doing that, because that would be the way for you to get into the organization. And then I think that because of some of the cards that are coming up, it probably is more if you can get into the organization that way, then once you finish your degree, you'll be able to then either apply or transition over to this other area. Because there is a sense that they're kind of holding on or holding out for something or someone that really matches what the position is needing. And I think that you may qualify for that, but not until you've finished the degree. So if you can look at what's available in admissions, then you'd be able to get into the organization and then start the process of connecting with the people and being there and then being able to move over to this other area once you've finished that.
Okay, so according to the cards, they were going to pick someone else for the position?
For this particular position at the moment, yes. But I think that there's still, I would still go back to it, there seems to be a really good match for you with this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you know, you pursuing, say, the admissions thing, especially since this person really recognized that you very closely fit what admissions needs, that would be your way to get into the organization. And then at a future time, and I really just think of the future time as being dependent on once you've finished your degree.
When is your degree, when do you expect to be finished with your degree?
Like in June.
June. Okay.
All of the fire cards here that come up kind of in the future, fire is summer, they're both reversed. And so that would say not until after the summer would you be able to be considered for or be able to successfully apply for the position that you're currently looking at. And that's why I kept coming back to, I think it's very dependent on once you've finished your degree, but that doesn't mean you can't get into the organization right now.
Okay, so when do you see me working with the, if I inquire about admission?
So, LaShondra, can you help me out? I'm just a little confused. Is the position that you're seeking the one in admissions, or is the position you're seeking in some other department?
The one I interviewed for was in career services.
Career services.
But when I was interviewing, she mentioned that I matched with admissions too.
Mm-hmm.
The person you interviewed with said that you fit very closely to what the admissions criteria would be looking for, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah. I fit with the admissions department.
And that I would say that you would probably start in the spring. So if you start pursuing the position in admissions now, they would, I mean, like where I went to school, we had semesters. So there was like the fall semester, the spring semester, and then in between was just a short
window. Oh, no, this college is a career college, so they like, it's ongoing admissions. It's like mm-hmm. ongoing.
Okay.
So, like the school that I go to, they accept, we start classes like every like 11 weeks, and some schools start like every 8 weeks. This what kind of school that is.
Okay.
Ongoing admission.
Right. So, well, yes. But in terms of timing, the reason I was talking about where I went to school is because there's a short winter break or winter session. So spring would start kind of in February or towards the end of January. So that's when I would see you like starting in the position in admissions.
Oh, okay, like in January, February?
So are you in the middle of a class session right now?
No, I don't start back until January the 7th.
Okay, but is that the beginning of a new 8 or 11 week period?
Yeah.
Or is that, okay. So I would encourage you to go ahead and start pursuing as soon as you get back in January. I'm sure you probably can't do it right now because of the holiday. But right after the first of the year, go and apply for the admissions position. And
I already have. I applied for so many positions with them. And so because I knew that, I wanted to be with the company, with the school. So I applied for several different positions with them. I wanted to be open to more than just that position.
Right.
So I don't know if I should contact the recruiter that contacted me and let him know that, hey, I want to be considered for more than just that position.
Yes. So after the first of the year, especially make it clear that you want to be considered for that admissions position so that there's a way of kind of alerting them or whatever, because that will probably move forward fairly quickly. And you would probably start that within about, for me, I'm just thinking beginning of spring from a school standpoint was around end of January, early February because of the spring semester. So that's when it would probably start for you. That's why you'd want to get on this right at after the first of the year.
Okay.
And the card that I drew for you is from a fairy oracle. And the card is actually a beautiful card. It's the fawn, which is, you know, a baby deer. And so that would also speak to two things. One, sort of a springtime-ish or a spring kind of opportunity, because that's when the baby deer are born. And also that there's natural magic happening, right? There's things are unfolding according to plan, and to go with the flow. So if the opportunity, if the folks you talked to said, "Well, you look like a good match for admissions," I would say that this card indicates go with that, run with that, see where it takes you, because you're being supported in your process here by forces beyond you.
Actually, I had totally forgotten about that. I had applied with them. I applied with them like back in June, and they contacted me like my phone number had changed and everything. They contacted me through email like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, they want you.
Yeah, and I think that that's very key, because the main card that came up here is the Queen of Cups, which is a card called Receptivity in the deck I'm using, and it's a sense, and Cups is water. So there's a sense that this is something that just kind of flows in as long as you're open to it. And I think not only is what you just described how that is, which it kind of came back to you, it kind of flowed back to you because you had forgotten about it and it just kind of came back to you, but also as long as you remain open and receptive to what somebody says you would really be good for or a good fit for, to take action on that and to go with that flow rather than trying to force it to be something else that you say, no, I want to this, I don't want to do that. So the admissions thing, whatever is flowing towards you, which kind of came easily because you didn't even prompt the person, they just kind of offered you'd be really good for admissions based on your qualifications. That following up on that and taking action on that, I think, is going to be very productive for you. And it won't take very long for you to get and start in that position, probably by end of January, early February.
Okay, no problem. Well, I'll go ahead and do that area.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and enjoy your holiday.
You too.
All right. Well, there it is.
Yeah, that was great.
So I think that we will now. It's nice that we don't really have to get jet lag or anything to travel across the country. So from Mississippi, we will now be going to New Jersey. And there we are going to speak to Rose. Are you with us, Rose? Hello, Rose in New Jersey. Are you there? Rose?
Hello?
Oh, there
she is. Is this Rose in New Jersey?
My call.
Sure. Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
How's the weather in New Jersey today?
It's cold.
Is it snowy or rainy?
No, it's the sun's shining, but it's just cold out.
Oh.
Winter is here.
You could probably do with a little bit of sunshine and cold and... Even though it's cold. After, you've had plenty of water recently.
Yes, we did.
So what is it that you'd like to ask us about today?
Well, it's just general. What do you see for me for the new year?
Okay.
Lots of good changes, I hope.
Can I ask really quick, what's the month and day of your birth?
12/10.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
So 12/10. Okay. So the reason I asked that is to calculate a year card and a year number.
Okay.
And those represent the overall energy, lesson, theme, focus for a year. So I think that's really good to look at for this particular question that you're asking. So you're entering, so it goes from birthday to birthday. You started it on your birthday on the 10th, and it goes through your birthday of next year. And you started a 9 year. Now, 9 is a number of completions and endings. So this is a year to really focus not so much on starting new things, at least until other things that are already in process have been finished or completed in some way.
Okay.
So, you know, anything that's ongoing is what you want to be focusing on right now. And really what you're doing is looking at how do I bring that to a close or to completion? How do I tie up those loose ends? If there are things that have gotten stalled or gotten put to the side, this is the time to pick them back up and continue moving forward with them. Or if you've decided they got put to the side because you didn't really want them any longer, then it's time to definitively move them out of the picture. So the example I'll give is, like, let's say somebody has 7 half-read books sitting next to their bed. And when somebody hears this, they may say, oh, okay, I know, there's a new book that came out that I really want to read. So I'm going to pick that book up and I'm going to read it from beginning to end. And what I would say is, don't worry about the new book. Instead, either finish the 7 half-read books, or if you've decided you're not going to finish reading them for whatever reason, then physically get rid of them so they no longer are there. Don't leave them piled up. So don't leave things in different areas of your life. Don't leave anything still piled up that is kind of half done but not getting any attention. Either come back and start moving it forward, or completely get rid of it and say, I'm not going to come back to this ever, therefore I move it away completely. And so you stop putting energy into it.
Okay.
9 is also a number about patterns and cycles. So this is a year where you want to look at what kind of patterns and cycles you may tend to fall into or repeat, and how, especially the ones that are not healthy, productive, or beneficial, why you fall into those and how you can start to change those rather than them continuing to be an ongoing cycle. Like if I continue to use the example with the books, if somebody has a pattern of buying a book and starting to read it, and then before they're finished with it, buying another book and starting to read a new one, that's a pattern they want to recognize, and then they want to start breaking and changing. So they make a commitment to reading and finishing a book before getting another one. You know, if it was in relationships, it'd be like being done and out of a relationship rather than starting a new relationship while still entangled in an old one. But whatever area or whatever it is, this is a year to recognize those patterns and start doing what's necessary to change them so that they don't continue to be what you habitually fall back into and then end up in a loop rather than able to move forward or to make changes.
Very good.
9 corresponds to the Hermit card. So this can be a year for doing more introspective type of work. It's a year for taking retreats and spending some time alone. Having your alone time is very important this year. So making an extra effort to set aside time for that on a regular basis. Creating your cave or your refuge is very important. And whether that's at your home where you feel like you can just get away from everything, or taking a bath every Tuesday night with the door closed and all the electronics off so you just have time for yourself and to yourself on a regular basis, or even doing it in your car. Some people have, you know, I talk to people and they complain about their commute for work, like they're in the car for an hour and they complain. And I would say, well, then take advantage of that and make your car your cave or your refuge and spend that time productively for yourself. So maybe it's listening to podcasts that are spiritually nourishing for you, or listening to music, or, you know, whatever it is. But instead of just sitting there being angry at traffic, it's like make that time and that space your refuge from everything else. But that's what you want to do on an ongoing basis and a conscious basis throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that there is an aspect of this card, because of the deck that I use for it, that corresponds, it corresponds the hermit to an Egyptian god named Thoth. And he is the god of divination, of writing, of communication. So this is a year where you want to really start communicating, and it may be a year to start writing. And whether that's journaling for yourself as part of your introspective process, or if you've been thinking about starting a blog or writing a book or whatever it is, then this is really a year. The idea is the message that has been kind of illuminated within you that you've become aware of, it wants to now start to be shined out into the world. And so we want you to start communicating your message rather than it just being something that you hold on to for yourself. Because what you have to communicate is going to help shed light or be illuminating for other people on their path as well. A lot of times this is a year where you realize things that you have experienced or done or been through, not only have you learned from them, but what you can now offer other people as a result of that helps them on their path. And that's what we want you to be willing to start sharing and communicating.
Okay.
So.
Great.
Okay, so Rose, I got some more information for you. Again, I worked for you. I drew from the fairy deck, the fairy oracle, and the first card that came up for you was the Piper reversed. Now, what this indicates is, you know, the Piper is you know, like the Pied Piper of Hamelin who piped around the town and all the rats left, and you know, he basically drew all of them, seduced all of the rats into leaving the town, and then the town refused to pay him, so he did the same thing with the children, and he took all the children away too. So the Piper is a very powerful card, an indication of the mesmerizing power of something to enchant you to, and that can be a good thing, but can also be a bad thing. Now, with the Piper reversed, what we want to draw your attention to is to not be seduced by the stories and songs that are not real. So it's a call to being very present and being very grounded to what is true versus what you wish were true. Because it's very easy to be manipulated when you wish something were true and someone is reaffirming to you that yes, 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 that's true. You have so there's a call here to be to bring clarity. And this is important because the card that came with it was actually death. And death, and the death card was also reversed. So what this means is that some major transition, some major thing that needs to end is not ending, is blocked. The transition power, the opportunity for transformation is being blocked. And so it may be that there's something that you are holding on to, or that someone or some circumstance in your life is continuing to, well, what's the word, reinforce, but it's really illusory. It's not really solid, and its time has passed. And so getting clear about what is true and what matters, so that the transformation, the transition can occur, is really important. Then there were the two other cards that came along with this. One is a character that speaks to the need to recognize that even in the contradiction, right? Even in circumstances where things look grim, there are blessings, and even in situations where things seem to be ideal, there are challenges and work still to be done. So, you know, good and bad, bad and good, and another character whose primary role is to point out where you are not grounded, and to encourage you to ground, keep your feet firmly planted on the ground. So there's a theme here of establishing clarity of vision, recognizing that something needs to change, that perhaps you are not recognizing because there's a song that has got you mesmerized. And that even in that transition, it may seem shocking at first, but there is good to be had from it, that it's okay to embrace that change as long as you stay grounded. And staying grounded is a big part, I think, of recognizing what it is that needs to change. Now, the last card that I received was a very beautiful card. It's called the Singer of Healing, which would say that as you go through this transition, a great blessing of healing energy will manifest in your space, in your life. So this is all leading to very positive, very powerful healing and growth for you this year.
Wonderful.
Now, the last thing that I got for you was an animal oracle card, and the card is the hawk. Now, what we know about hawks are they have amazing vision and they have piercing focus. So the summary of the hawk is choose your priorities and eliminate all distractions. So there's a theme here, which is kind of a call to waking up, to seeing clearly, focusing, you know, girding your loins, and moving forward into the world in a new way, allowing things that no longer serve you to be discarded so that you can reemerge as something very new and in the process receive great healing.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you.
So does these make sense to you, these readings?
Yeah, yes, it does.
And I just want to toss in a little bit of timing in terms of periods of the year to really be paying attention to. It seems as if the first couple of weeks of the year are going to really, you'll be faced with some options or some choices and decisions to make about should I do this or should I do this, which way should I go, etc. And we want you to be willing to just choose, trust your gut instinct, but also think outside of the box. So you may be challenged to consider or look at something in a new way, or to do something that you wouldn't have thought of doing before. But if you can make the choice to do that within the early part of the year, then March seems to be a very significant time period, or the period of Pisces, if you want to know technically, but let's just say March. It seems to be a very particular importance to that time period. And things that you've been open to or willing to receive will start to flow in. And if you're willing to go with those, one, it's going to trigger the process of recognizing what you need to let go of and walk away from. But that's going to be because you recognize by doing that, it will open up the space for these new things to start flowing in. So it's like if you had a glass full of water and now you want milk, you have to pour the water out in some way, and that way it opens up the space for you to now have the milk. And so it's the recognition that, oh, I feel bad that I'm going to get rid of the water. It's not feeling bad. It's saying it's necessary for me to let go of this water so that I can make room for the milk that wants to come in. So there seems to be some things that are going to want to start flowing in, probably as a result of the decisions or choices that you're faced with right at the beginning of the year. Think outside the box, be willing to try or approach something in a new way, and also be willing to learn something new. I think there's a big aspect here about learning something new. And I would venture to say it's probably going to be in the realm of spirituality, or even if it's going back to what John was saying, if it's about healing, it may be about learning something that has to do with alternative medicine or energy work or that kind of realm, this kind of alternative realm of healing. in some way. So that, I think, is going to be a big theme for you in this year, and something you want to, you'll find you're gravitating towards, as well as want to be open to pursuing and allowing yourself to learn or to try or to even consider doing on a broader basis.
Great. Well, I thank you both so much. That was so interesting, and it really makes a lot of sense.
Good.
Well, embrace it and let us know how it turns out.
I will, and happy holidays.
Same to you.
Thank you, and thanks for calling in.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, we're going to be going to our next reading in just a moment. We're just going to take a quick little break, just a little one-minute break, and we will be right back after this.
Introducing theshamanist.com. Because of its capacity to connect us to the divine, shamanism has been described as archaic techniques of ecstasy. John Carosella has been working with shamanic techniques since 2003, developing his skills in healing and counseling. Now, we invite you to take advantage of what he's learned at The Shamanist, John's website for his personal healing and counseling practice. Visit theshamanist.com to learn more about the services John offers for individuals and teams. Looking for healing, discovery, inner peace? John can help make a difference in your life. Visit theshamanist.com for more details.
And we are back, and we'll move on to our next reading, and that is going to be with Jordana in Minneapolis. Are you there, Jordana?
I am. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Jordana. Nice to have you on the show.
Thanks. So I have a specific question. Can I ask you guys that now, or do you want me to wait?
No, you can go ahead and ask that right now.
Okay, fabulous. I was dating this guy, and we got really serious. I mean, we were talking about marriage, and he ended up breaking up with me last weekend for something completely silly. Like, his family got involved and started saying, like, I wasn't real, I wasn't who I said I was, and, you know, so on and so forth. So I'm wondering if we're going to end up reconciling or if he's going to end up reaching out so we can, like, try to fix this, because he was definitely the guy I thought I was going to marry.
What's his name?
His name is Josh.
Josh. You silly fellow.
So one thing I will say is that the overall energy of the year 2013 in some ways is in your favor, because it's a 6 year, which corresponds to the Lover's card, and that's kind of the overall energy for the year in general. And so that tends to be a card that can be about understanding and reconciliation and forgiveness. So let's just say that there's something in the air that would support the ability for forgiveness, understanding, and reconciliation to be able to happen or take place. But, of course, that's going to be very dependent on how individuals tap into that energy and use that energy.
Right.
There's some very promising things in the cards that came up here for you and your relationship. However, it's very dependent on whether Josh is willing to, I want to say, be his own man, be his own person. It's like he needs to step up. Like, one of the big cards that came up here is the King of Wands. So it's like he needs to step up into his role as a king rather than continuing to be a prince. And being a prince would mean being told what to do by his father, by the king, you know, or by his parents. So, you know, and here the King of Wands is called the creator. So it's a sense of being the creator of my own destiny. So he has to be the one that's willing to start having the courage to create the destiny he wants and be himself in the world, rather than living according to what other people tell him he should do or supposed to do. And the challenge here is that there's a sense that there's not a lot that you can do about the situation, that it's much more dependent on him, and whether King of Wands, wand is fire. So it's almost as like saying it's almost dependent on whether he's willing to see the light, which means when you shine the light on something, then we see things for what they are. And so it would be shining a light on what people are telling him, et cetera, and his willingness to pursue the truth or to trust his own gut about whether, for example, you're real or not versus what other people are telling him.
So
right now it's almost like he wants to be a victim and feel as if whatever is happening to him or in his life is somebody else's fault rather than his own. So he has some place to blame rather than take responsibility for it. Overall, I think that you're going to come out of this okay based on the cards that are here, whether that's with Josh or not. I think that there may even be if it's not with him, then there's a sense that by the fall you would think of it this way. You can think of it in two ways. If he steps up to the plate that way, then by the fall, you will probably be in a much more solid place in the relationship and moving forward with what you were talking about and that kind of thing.
When we had actually discussed getting engaged, like around next fall.
Well, this would point to either that happens because he's willing to step up to the plate, or if he's not, then I think that what you'll find is by next fall, you may be in another relationship where you're feeling as if, wow, this is kind of on track in a similar way for where I thought I would be with somebody else, but it just happens that it's developed with a different person, but that's really more because this Josh person wasn't willing to step up to taking responsibility for creating his own life and his own destiny versus allowing other people to tell him what to do. So
you can see Josh like reaching out to me in any way?
Well, he does at the moment, no, but I think because at the moment he's feeling very overwhelmed. And
okay.
It's as if and like the card actually that came up for him is called suppression. So it's almost as if he continues to allow other people to convince and talk him out of reaching out to you even when he wants to. So it's like and so he says he wants to reach out and talk to you, and then he lets other people, well, no, that's really not a good thing to do. No, you really shouldn't do that. And so he allows outside things or people to suppress his own instinct or desire or what he thinks would be the best thing to do. And that's what's getting in the way at the moment.
Okay.
So
do you know when, like, he will, I guess, like, not do that?
Well, okay. Hi, C. Can I jump in here a little bit?
Sure.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Okay. I got reading a set of cards for you, Jordana, that are really all about very strong caution lights. Okay. I got a card that indicates meddling and sabotage, but it was reversed. And in the reverse position, it means good thing somebody meddled and sabotaged.
Okay.
So, and then I got a card that represented indecision, hesitation, but it was reversed. And in that position, it indicates, yeah, maybe it was a good thing to not decide. Maybe it's a good thing to hesitate. And then I got a card that, let's just talk about those two for the moment. I strongly encourage you to take this moment, this circumstance, to look carefully. You've been put on notice. Okay, the universe stepped in and put you on notice that something is amiss. Something's not right.
Okay.
And so this break, this hesitation, this pulling back in this moment is really an important opportunity for you. Now, I mean, whatever's going on with Josh, I usually stay away from trying to read somebody else you know, I'm gonna read you because I have your permission. I don't have Josh's permission. You know.
Right.
So the message is this interference, this static, and this hesitation is serving you in a powerful way. And the reason I say that is because the third card that I got was about being careful, being cautious.
Okay.
You know, looking carefully at, you know, when I see clients who are asking relationship questions and they're struggling in their relationship with their mate, I often ask them, now that something has happened, right, and some aspect of their partner has emerged, and I say to them, like I will say to you, do you love this person? Not the person you would like him to be, but the person...
Right, the person, but who he is without changing him, right?
Yeah, the person he's demonstrating himself to be right now. Is this person the person you want to commit yourself to and be in a sustained, mutually supportive relationship with? This is who he is. And
right.
That's a powerful lens with, you know, you basically got somebody focused the lens here.
Right, absolutely, to really see. No, I've definitely learned a lot through this whole thing. Well, you know, and on top of that, his family's been very harassing to me. And I think for me, yes, you know, like I'll answer that right now. Like, yes, I still love him. Yes, I still want to be with him. But I've learned that there needs to be like boundaries set, meaning like he needs to really like stand up, you know, and not let anyone else control his life, because I can't deal with that. You know, I'm very independent. So,
well, so the thing to contemplate is, since you can't set those boundaries for him, he's the only one.
Yeah,
no,
he needs to. Absolutely, he needs to be like, you know, this is my life, and I know what's happened to him before because we've talked about that. And, you know, and he said, you know, I'm not going to let anyone else, like, control my decisions, especially with relationships. It happened with his previous relationship. So, like, prior to me. So I think maybe this was supposed to happen so he could see it, so I could see it, so I knew exactly what I was getting myself into.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I totally understand that. And in fact, I've thought about, you know, okay, so if we end up reconciling, there needs to be a conversation, and the conversation needs to be like, what do you want? Because if you want to be with me, then you need to be able to stand up for yourself and not let anyone else influence you.
Well, remember though, okay, that he is doing right now, he is doing something that serves him in some way.
Right.
So there's some part of him that needs what is happening.
Okay. Right.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe he needed this to learn.
Well, no. I know you want to. I can understand how that would be an attractive way to spin it.
I don't know what else way it would be.
Well, because he's got a weakness. He's weak, or he's wounded, or he's afraid, deeply afraid. And when his parents or his family intercedes, he allows it. He allows it for some reason, right? This isn't happening against his will. He is a free agent in this, and he is accepting their interference. Now, it
right.
only when he can see that, A, they're interfering, and B, that he is a willing participant in their interference, can he actually examine why he wants that to happen, why he is willing to allow that to happen.
Right.
Right. And so,
I understand that.
This is in some ways, this is a subtle distinction. His family is meddling, and he is accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he accepting it?
Right.
Is it, you know, asking him to not do that without him actually understanding how and why his doing that is feeding him is just going
right.
to be an exercise where he's going to fall back again and again because he doesn't recognize what need is being filled by their interference. So he's got
right.
to figure that part out. Right.
Right.
And,
so
and
he has to figure that out prior.
And that leads me to the last card that I received, which was death, which talks to fundamental transformation. Right. And that's in the context of this conversation can be a fundamental transformation for you, a fundamental transformation for him, or a fundamental transformation of your relationship. I would strongly encourage you to wait until you see firmly and clearly where one of those three of those things has occurred, if not all three, before you proceed.
Okay. Well, I haven't reached out to him because he told me not to. And so I think that was like a huge question today in calling is, you know, is he going to end up reaching out to me eventually in the future?
I would say that you should wait.
I would say no. Based on the cards that came up, I would say what's more likely to happen is you're likely to run into each other in a social setting.
Okay.
Versus him being willing to take direct action to reach out to you.
Right. Okay.
But that will be an interesting indication to you because it means he's not taking the initiative versus
right.
he's kind of having to do it because, oh, oops, well, now it's awkward because here we are in the same place and I guess we have to talk to
yeah.
each other versus I'm going to take the initiative to reach out to you and talk to you. So, you know, he needs to, I think he's afraid of giving up perks that he feels he gets from his family. And if he goes against what they think or their wishes are. And until
yeah.
he's willing to grow up and start to say, it's more important for me to forge my own life and create my own life rather than be dependent on or think that in order to be happy, I need to have the perks that come from my family and I don't want to risk losing them and those, then you've seen the pattern because this has happened before. And he gave lip service that he saw that happen to a previous relationship and he wasn't going to let it happen again, and yet he did.
Right, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think for me, like, him and I had a life plan. Like, I own my own business. He was going to be traveling with me for 6 months because someone who I'm working with had hired him to work for her. And so we were going to be traveling together, and, like, we literally had this life, you know, that was totally like taken away.
Well, but he let it be taken away. It didn't need to be
right.
taken
yeah,
away.
Right, yeah, no, I understand that. Like, I'm not saying it's not his fault at all. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, like, he and his family is very, I don't even think he realizes what his family has done to me over the past 2 weeks. I really don't. I don't think that his mom has been filling him in on that.
Well, if you, like John said, I wouldn't reach out to him in terms of taking initiative on your part to reach out to him. But if you
no,
come
I'm
across,
not going to.
But if you come across him in a social situation, then I would let him know that because that may be information he needs to start realizing it's time for me to start being my own man.
Oh, yeah, no, it definitely is information he's going to need. And, you know, I've saved all of it, so that's fine. I can wait. Not a big deal.
So the onus is on him at this point.
Right,
but we
absolutely.
Don't want you to just wait around and bide your time.
Right. Well, I'm not really, honestly, like, I wasn't looking to get into a relationship when I met him. Like, I had kind of given up at that point. And so right now, I can guarantee you, I'm not looking to get into any other relationship at all. Like, I'm really career focused, so I don't need that part.
Well, but I think it'll be similar to this. It'll come along. rather than something that you actively looked for.
Yeah, no, I don't do the looking, and I think I'm pretty closed off to it right now.
Yeah.
Because I had talked about getting married to someone, so that's kind of a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And having kids and doing all of that, like, that's a pretty big deal for me. But thank you guys so much for everything.
Sure. Well, thank you for being willing to call in, and hopefully this helped a little bit.
Hang in there.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hang in there, Jordana. Look for a fundamental transformation in yourself or in your relationship or in him, and then you'll know.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much.
Have a great holiday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick little break, and then we'll be right back with more readings. And this time we'll be off to, where are we going? Illinois with Jill. Transition. Good heavens. and let's see. Oh, right. We're going off to Illinois now, aren't we?
Yes.
So let's go to Jill in Illinois. And
hello.
Hello. Are you there, Jill?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Hi, Jill. It's good to have you.
Hi. Thank you.
Why don't you go ahead and let us know what it is you'd like to ask about today?
Okay, I wrote my sister a little over a month ago. I sent her a long email, actually. I'm the youngest, my parents are gone, and she has been very abusive to me since my dad died, and I confronted her and said, I don't want to be abused anymore, and what did I ever do with her, and she just continues to abuse me. The last I talked to her. So is she thinking about the letter now that some time has gone by?
The first thing I can say is yes, she certainly is thinking about it. And the card that came up for her, the Ace of Swords, actually indicates that it helped to, like here in the deck that I'm using, the Ace of Swords is called consciousness. So it may have helped to at least open her eyes or awaken her to something that maybe she hadn't realized. Did one of your parents or something die recently?
A few years ago, but from the minute he's died, she hasn't been nice to me or doesn't want anything to do with me, and I didn't do anything to her.
So, well, I think that her grieving process and the way that death affected her, what your letter did is perhaps help to open her eyes to realize some things that she hadn't been consciously aware of in terms of how she or her behavior had perhaps changed. But I think it's also triggering for her to look at maybe she hasn't grieved or healed properly from how that death affected her.
Okay.
And so if nothing else, the letter that you wrote her certainly seemed to have an effect, and the way that you're asking the question very specifically, it certainly has caused her to start thinking either in a new way or to start thinking about some of the things that you wrote her about that she may not have been actively or consciously thinking about prior to that. So it was kind of a wake-up call for her.
Right.
And you know, there is an indication that it seems as if there is the possibility for a, you know, if you were listening to the previous caller when I was talking about how the year coming up overall is represented by the number 6 in the Lovers card, which is about reconciliation and understanding and forgiveness. So there is that energy in the air in the coming year for that kind of thing to happen. Doesn't mean it happens overnight, but that and the cards that came up here specifically for you also seem to indicate that this may have been the trigger that needed to happen or the catalyst that needed to happen for movement towards forgiveness and reconciliation between the two of you.
Okay.
And I'm, you know, one thing I would look at here, it may be, and this isn't from now, this is in terms of total, it may be about a 4-year process before you feel that things are starting to come back together for the two of you. So
okay.
if you think back to when this started, go 4 years from there, not 4 years from now. And I'm also encouraged by the I Ching card that came up. I Ching is a Chinese divination system and has what are called hexagrams. And it's hexagram number 11. And 11 is a master number, which represents the number one, which is about new beginnings. So there's the opportunity for new beginnings in the relationship. But 11, a master number, takes things to the next level. So it's not starting out something brand new versus moving something from where it was to a new place or a new level. So even the number of the hexagram seems to indicate the ability for this relationship to move to the next level or move out of the phase or the pattern it was in into something new. And the name of this hexagram is called peace. So there is, you know, and this is a hexagram that represents things like harmony, balance, and even, you know, favorable conditions is something that will be said with this. So it seems as if what you wrote has helped to generate some favorable conditions for peace and harmony to be able to be restored. It will take some time, but at least this seemed to be the catalyst or the thing that was necessary to start that process happening rather than it staying stuck and stagnant in the dynamic that it was in up to this point.
Okay. What, he refuses to take any responsibility ever for anything, ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Well, so this may help to start a process of rethinking that on their part.
Okay.
But it also means that you need to be working on your own forgiveness, your own understanding, which means maybe understanding that here's someone who, even without you knowing exactly how, was more profoundly affected by the death of your father than what you might have anticipated or realized.
Okay.
And to let go of judgment around that person so that you can approach reestablishing the relationship from a new place rather than from a place that still is based in old grudges, old anger, old wounds. So
okay.
I think there is the opportunity here for your sister to start thinking differently.
Okay.
But part of that will be supported by you not bringing up the past versus supporting the new way of thinking. So instead of always reminding her of, how, oh, you were always so judgmental, oh, you never took, you know, responsibility for anything or whatever, let those things be done. Let bygones be bygones and start interacting in a new way.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Jill, can I want to share much of what Hi-C has shared with you. I did a rune cast for you, and the runes indicate something very, very similar. The first thing is that you recognized that your sister was hurting you.
Yes.
You made the choice to set up boundaries to create protection for yourself.
Yes.
That's essential, right? And not allowing that to happen, that no longer is acceptable to you. Asserting that is the case and being firm in that is very important. Even though you might fear loss and disconnection from your family, it's very important that you establish that you're no longer going to tolerate being abused.
Right.
Now,
true.
Now, what Hi-C said is actually, you know, there's a challenge in this, and it's essential because I got the warrior rune, the rune of two. We named Tuesday after two, the Norse warrior god. You must be disciplined, have the discipline of a warrior here. And that means not allowing the past to come back again and again and in a way assert itself as vengeance or retribution or, you know, payback or anything like that. The key here for successful resolution is that you be impeccable with your word and with your actions. And meet every genuine offer of reconciliation with equanimity. Be really, truly open to healing and don't force a rebalancing by, you know, a tit for tat kind of thing.
What keeps happening, too, is, like, this has been going on my entire lifetime in my family. I'm constantly put in situations where I'm defending myself over things that don't even exist or didn't happen.
So the warrior in that situation would simply say, this is not true, this is not my experience, and I will not be responsible to carry that which is not true in my experience.
Okay.
Right? And notice how that's not, you guys are always picking on me, you guys are always mean to me, how can you do this to me? It's very simple. It's, I no longer accept this story.
Right.
And you all may choose to carry this story yourselves, but I have no part in it. Now that takes courage because it leads you to the possibility of separation from your family, from your loved ones. But your impeccability and your courage with firm, calm resolve, right? Not anger, not fear, but firm, calm resolve is very, very important. Because that energy shift will, at the very least, will free you from this dysfunctional cycle of codependent dysfunction. If you don't accept the story anymore, they're going to be mad at you for not playing your role. That always happens. But because unless you are getting something from it, right? You know, if you're really willing to say goodbye to this, then you have to be willing to say goodbye to it calmly and with resolve. Now, the good news is an additional rune that came up was the rune of it's actually it's the rune of riding, which typically talks about a journey on horseback, right? Now, if you think about a journey on horseback is an adventure, right? It's out in the elements. It's very true. It's not insulated, right? It has a kind of visceral quality to it. And it's an adventure in that it represents movement. Things are changing. The scenery changes. The challenges you face change. Everything is unfolding in when you go for a horseback ride. And you're also supported by your horse. So that's another good thing, right? So you have support. So the be prepared for an evolving scene, an evolving adventure. And some of it will be great, and some of it will be, you know, you'll get rained on, and, you know, your horse will stumble, and you'll slip off and fall in the mud. And, you know, those things happen when you're on a horseback ride. But the last rune that came up for you in this reading is the rune of joy. Unjo, the rune of joy. So no matter what happens on this adventure, and it will be an adventure, know that joy is your reward. Now, we don't know how it'll turn out. We don't know whether you'll reconcile with your sister, and whether there's the roles that they ask you to play will shift, and so on and so forth. But in the end, it'll be good for you.
Okay.
So, I think High C's point about, your letter triggered something. I think it very, very, I heartily agree that your letter triggered something. And you are on the adventure. Remember that you cannot control the other pieces on the chessboard. You can only be accountable and responsible for yourself.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
That was excellent, the both of you.
Well, thank you very much for calling in today.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Be that warrior on the horseback, right?
Okay.
Yes. And don't let this prevent you from enjoying your holidays.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to you.
Bye-bye. Okay.
So, you know, I thought I was going to go with this fairy deck today because I really felt like sharing just light and happy and lighthearted stuff, and it kept giving me this tough news. So I switched to the runes, and they're in a bad mood too. I don't know what's going on.
See, that's why we needed the music I chose, so that we'd have a little something upbeat just to balance things out today. So now we move to New York. And we visit with Stacy. Are you there, Stacy?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. And how are you?
I'm doing well. I just have a quick question in regards to career. I have a temp assignment starting next month. January 2nd. And my question is, do you see anything leading towards a permanent position, or what do you see as far as career-wise?
Okay. Well, if nothing else, congratulations on getting the temp job that's starting.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
thank
great.
You.
So there are some. Well, the first thing that I'll say is that it seems as if the first card that came up is the Ten of Swords reversed. And reversed just means it's upside down to me when it came up.
Okay.
Sorry. Hang on. I'm trying to put myself on mute so I can do this rune cast, but I pressed the wrong button.
The Ten of Swords is a card that represents a long-standing period of difficulty, pain, negativity nearing an end. And when And when it reverses, it's like the swords are falling away. So there's a sense that we're already starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we're starting to experience the change or transition into something better, and feeling as if the old phase cycle pattern is actually beginning to be behind us.
Yes.
And the next card after that is the Page of Wands, which is often a card, pages represent children. So it's like something new being born or coming into being. And wands is actually the suit of career.
Yes.
So there's a sense that this seems to be the starting point for transitioning out of the old phase or cycle you were struggling with work-wise into a new one. And the Page of Wands is a card of playfulness and fun as well as challenge. So I think that, one, it indicates that some new career opportunities are getting ready to open up. And, you know, but one thing that's kind of indicated here is you may need to be willing to be open to what those new opportunities actually are, because I think they're going to take you in a slightly new or different direction career-wise. And we want you to be open and willing to letting go of and walking away from what you may have been involved in previously or thought that your career path would follow, because this seems to want to challenge you to move in a slightly new or different career path direction.
Sounds excellent. Okay.
And I think that, how long is this temp assignment supposed to be?
Well, this temp assignment is supposed to last 1 month, but I do have a part-time telephone interviewing position, which it doesn't pay much, but it just pays the bills.
Right. So I don't think that the temp position will last much longer than what it's supposed to, because the card I would have here would be that it'll last about 5 weeks.
Okay.
But what's coming is something that will probably be much more enticing and lucrative, both in terms of you being excited about it as well as paying more.
Sounds great.
And don't underestimate additional temp jobs or opportunities that come along, because I would actually think that there may be something that comes right after this one that'll last longer, that'll be like an 8 month kind of thing. But also pay attention to August, because I think August will be a very key time as to when your opportunities will be there to move away from what you've been doing or the career path you thought you would be in, and to start heading in a new direction. And all you have to do is surrender to that and be willing to say, okay, I thought I was going to go this direction, but I'm okay letting go of that, and I start to go in this direction, rather than like wrestling with whether to take advantage of this or go that direction or do this thing. But especially summer, and I think around August, are very key to when that new direction really starts to kick in. But there's nothing here that indicates you'll be like destitute without any work until then.
Okay, sounds good. Okay.
So.
And that's the only question that I have. I'm not really focused on any romance in my life right now. My goal is to find something study as far as employment-wise, and to return to school starting in September of 2013.
Oh, well, I think that ties in perfectly to the time frame here.
Okay.
Because this was saying, you know, August seems to be a key time for when you're letting go of and moving away from something and into something new or different, which is when you're going back to school in September. And I think it's reassuring you that even if this position that you're starting is only 5 weeks or a month or whatever, that there will be something else there to take you through when you start school.
Oh, sounds perfect. Okay.
So that's a fairly specific reading from Hycea. Let me give you what the runes have to say here. Generally speaking, I'd say this is good times ahead for you. The rune that relates to the unseen being at work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Perth. Or it's it can mean a hidden matter, or you know the excitement or the circumstances of an initiation where you don't really know what's on the other side, but once you go through it, you'll never be the same again.
Or it can be
something like, you know, the roll of the dice, right? Or the cup that holds the dice, right? So some magic is working in your world. And the next rune is the rune of it's the rune of expectation or pregnancy, right? Some seed is being, and it doesn't mean literally that you're going to have a baby,
Okay.
But it indicates that something, a seed has been planted and is growing.
Okay.
Now, if you relate this to like your temp work, it might be that it's, you know, leading somewhere. But it might be that there's other aspects of your life that are just, you know, the seeds have been planted and they're, you know, they're gestating. There's this period of hidden growth, right? The next rune is the rune Anzus, which is really communication with the divine father, right? Odin was the all father god in the Norse mythology. And so the indication here is that you're in connection with that which is powerful. And then there's a rune of a sense of defense, right? Where you really and what is, you know, what does defense mean? We often think of defense as meaning that we need to be prepared for an assault of some kind. But really, the best kind of defense is to be so aware of what's going on around you that you make choices that require no energy to be spent on defense. So being thoughtful, being aware of the consequences of your actions, especially in the presence of all this divine mojo that's working in your life. This is a call to be very astutely aware of the consequences of your actions over the next year. Right? So be thinking, things are working, there's magic happening, there's seeds have been planted, you're in connection with you have a good line of connection to the divine. Now be very thoughtful about the consequences of the choices you make. And the final rune is the rune of the harvest, which, you know, again, like what could be better than after a period of time receiving the fruits of the harvest? This is important, right? This notion of being thoughtful and understanding the consequences of your actions is essential here, because what harvest you manage to harvest will be fundamentally and closely coupled with, tied to and closely coupled with your choices. So essentially, you're being led down a path where power is being placed into your hands. So choose wisely. And that's a great place to be, right? Where you're actually in a position where your choices are going to drive what manifests for you. So I would say, congratulations. You've just been handed a loaded wand. Point it carefully.
Okay. Are you still there, Stacy?
I think Stacy disappeared.
Well, maybe she did. Well, hopefully she still is listening and heard that, or she can always listen in the archives. We'll just let everyone know if you want to listen back to a reading that you got. It's always available in the archives or as a podcast on iTunes that you can download. So we thank Stacy for having called in, and hopefully she enjoys the opportunities that are getting ready to come her way in 2013 for her work. So let's see. Let us move on to Colorado and visit with Carol in Colorado. Are you there, Carol?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm surprised I got on. You guys are great.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. You're just full of wisdom. I mean, your messages for people about the wisdom, that's wonderful. My question is I am actually in a wonderful place, and there's just so many things going on, and I'm just curious, is there anything I need to know for the new year, or am I right on path? Is there anything I can do, to help? Okay, thank you.
Sure. So the first thing that came up for me actually was from the I Ching, which is and it's hexagram number 44. Now, 4 is a number of foundation and establishing roots, as well as kind of coasting for a little while. A double number like 44 versus just the single number of 4 is called a master number, which takes things to the next level or to a spiritual level. So one thing I would say with that is this is really a time for you to be focusing on your spiritual foundation. And I think part of that coasting is it's kind of like if you're pouring the foundation for a house, that you would pour the concrete, but then you have to wait to let it dry. And this is encouraging you to really look at your spiritual foundation and make sure you have allowed things to settle into place so that they are fully able to support what it is that you're hoping to see grow and develop and evolve on them or on that foundation. So it's not necessarily pushing you to continue taking a lot of action versus sitting with things that you've already started doing. So you don't have to keep trying to learn the next new thing or go to the next new level versus just kind of do what you're doing and go deeper into that for a little while. If somebody learned a new spiritual practice, this would encourage them to just do that for a while on a regular basis so that you feel disciplined in it, so that you start to uncover deeper layers and subtleties of it, rather than, oh, I learned that last weekend, so now let me learn the next thing next weekend. So you really want to kind of take your time and move along at a very measured pace at this point for a little while, rather than what's next, what's next, what's next.
Okay.
And the hexagram 44 is called the attraction of opposites.
Mm-hmm.
And really what that's about is looking at what is it that we are attracting into ourselves or into our lives based on what it is that we are putting out in terms of the energy that we are putting out. And so we may feel that I study this and I try that and I learn this, but it never seems to sink in. That's probably because what we're putting out is a scattered energy in the sense of, oh, I'm learning this, now let me learn the next thing. And so you want to look at what energy am I putting out into the world? And that's going to be very much what it is that starts to attract to you. So if you want something to feel more rooted and solid and stable in terms of your spiritual path, you have to start being more rooted and stable and solid in yourself and the way that you're approaching your spiritual path, rather than looking to or relying on the spiritual path to give you that sense of stability or foundation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wouldn't discount the possibility of coming into relationship with one or more people in a significant or intimate way as a result of the spiritual path or the things that you're doing around your spirituality in this year. I would just say to remain open to that. And pay attention to what you get seduced by or tempted by, so that you don't just easily give into temptation or be seduced into the next greater, brighter, snazzier thing, versus recognizing that's very tempting, but right now I need to stay very grounded and rooted and settled in what I'm doing at this moment, rather than giving into the temptation to go for the next shiny thing along the path.
Okay. I agree with that, because the fact is that you have to look within. And we can continue to look out in books and pictures and readings or whatever else, but truly, in the final analysis, we have to go within and bring forth what we have. So I think it's in the guidance. That's just very true.
Yeah, Carol, it's amazing how these cards align with what Hi-C is sharing. I chose another deck for you, and I've got the first card that came up for you is alignment, and this is the equivalent of the Three of Wands. So in my deck, it's called the Warrior Three Alignment. And, you know, everything that we're talking about here for you is, it seems like you have much, if not all, of what you need. And now it's a period where you focus, where you bring your disciplines together and start to exercise them as who you are instead of who you would like to be. You know, and I'm not saying that you don't do that. I'm highlighting that for our audience. There's a difference between an aspirant, someone who is aspiring to, and a practitioner, someone who is.
Okay.
And for this coming year, I really encourage you to be that person that your tools have brought you to a place where you can now be them as opposed to learning them, you know, practicing them, exercising the discipline of them, bringing yourself into alignment with the power that is accessible through the tools that you already know. And the next card that I got for you was the Ace of Swords. In my deck, it's called the Dreamer. And much like a card for in a previous reading that High C read, the card of consciousness, this card essentially means the same thing. You are in a place where your mind can become a powerful tool for manifesting.
Okay.
Connecting to everything, to your world through, you know, being in alignment, establishing yourself as who you are instead of who you would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then applying your clear consciousness to the choices that are in front of you. So you actually now choose to begin to manifest what happens next for you. And then the next two cards relate to something that Heisi said as well. The Three of Pentacles, Maker Three in my deck, it's called Labor's Fruit. This is the idea that through partnership and cooperation, working in an area where there wasn't abundance, you can actually create abundance. So that might be a new project. It might be a new career path. It might be just rebuilding relationships around family or whatever it might be that you want to do where it hasn't been as full as you'd like it to be. Working in partnership in community with others, you can actually now manifest through the power of three, you know, the power of a team,
yeah.
something beautiful and strong. And then I also got the Two of Cups, Dancer Two, called Soulmates, mm-hmm. which indicates that some divine alignment, either with a lover, you know, an intimate, or just some new relationship with your own higher self, you know, a falling in love with yourself might actually be in the offing. And then the major arcana card of the Sun, which speaks to really kind of a joyous acknowledgement of the beauty of life and the fact that you are adored by the stars and the planets and the gods and goddesses. So it looks like a really great reading for you on both sides. And it really comes down to be who you have been called into being.
Yes.
And work from there.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful. Wow.
I'm excited for you. I wouldn't mind being you for the next year.
<That's a great laughs> Thank you. Thank you. No, that's wonderful. Boy, you guys, you bring it through. Thank you so much. And wow. Thank you. What a gift. Thank you so much for acknowledging that. And I feel good.
Excellent.
So many blessings and a merry, merry Christmas to you. And thank you so much. And I certainly will be listening to you again. And have a wonderful new year, too.
Tell your friends about us, too.
I will. I absolutely will. Boy, thank you so much. Okay.
Well, thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. Okay. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. All right. And we will be back in 30 seconds.
A personal tarot reading can offer you insight, information, enlightenment, and empowerment along your life's path. Hi-C is a professional tarot conversationalist and ritualist with over 10 years' experience. He's available for readings in a variety of formats, including parties and events. To schedule your personal tarot reading, contact Hi-C at tarotbyhic.net or email him at hic@fireflywillows.com.
And we are back. So we are going to now go next to Texas, and we are going to talk to Dawn in Texas. Are you there, Dawn?
Hi, this is Yvonne.
Oh, Yvonne, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But you are in Texas, correct?
I sure am.
All right. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. You've got a great show going on.
Thank you. So what is it that you'd like to ask us about today that we can look at?
Can you see if you see a relationship coming up for me anytime soon?
We can.
Great.
Have you been in a relationship recently, or?
Yes. I have been talking to someone, but she's been really busy, and I don't know if it's that she's just really busy or she's just really not interested.
So do you want us to look at that situation in particular, or just in general relationships for you?
Well, if you look into the general one, that would take care of her, right?
Yes, it would.
So let's do that.
Okay. So, you know, the first thing that I would say comes up here is one of the things that may be kind of a stumbling block or an obstacle to the kind of relationship you're wanting coming into your life is there may still be a need to get some control over continued wounds that need to be healed from previous relationship hurts. And sometimes that can come in forms of hoping that a new relationship will be the thing that fixes or makes us feel better from a previous hurt in some way. And here there's more a sense that we need to focus on healing those wounds first so that we can enter into a new relationship without putting that kind of pressure or expectation on the new relationship. There's a strong indication here that there's maybe a need for some form of counseling or therapy or something in order to simply work through what may just be the last vestiges of this healing process, but it still seems there just still seems something kind of stuck that we may not be able to pry off or to get off ourselves, and we need to call in an expert to help with this final step in the process. There's certain cards that are coming up that would point to things like either depression or kind of having felt cut off from things, so maybe either having felt cut off and trying to now get back into the dating world or relationship world or that kind of thing. But it doesn't seem as if we've finished the hurdle, and we just need to focus on that first in order to be able to start bringing in the kind of relationship that we want. Now, there's two sides to this, because that can be from your side, but you'd also maybe want to look at the people that you have been meeting or been considering getting into relationship with. They may be needing this kind of healing process to be finished as well, because they may be coming in or looking to you to be that fix for them rather than them doing the healing work on themselves first so that they can come into a relationship with you in a healthier state rather than looking to you, because then you start to get into codependency and all sorts of unhealthy aspects. And that can be both a lot of pressure for you, as well as not bode very well for a healthy long-term relationship. And, you know, the concern here, that one of the things that comes up is just there's a previous situation that doesn't seem to have been fully let go of or walked away from. So there's still entanglement in a previous relationship or situation that still...
On my side?
Well, do you feel there's something like that on your side?
No. I let go.
Okay. But have you healed from the letting go process? Or do you still feel that there is emotional entanglement, even if it's just within yourself?
I thought I have.
Okay. Well, that's okay, because it may be that the other person... And I think what this is cautioning you about is to not get involved with someone who still has any sort of entanglement with the past. So if you got involved with somebody who said, well, you know, I'm still in the process of getting divorced, but we've been separated for 2 years. Or, well, I just broke up with somebody 3 months ago, but I think I'm ready to start getting into a new relationship. You know, whatever it is, any of those kind of entanglements are a caution for you to say, okay, this is not the thing for me to get involved with at this time. So you want somebody who is in complete control of themselves and their lives, who has made all of those final breaks and is no longer attached to or has loose ends dangling from past relationship experiences so that they can fully engage with you. And also be really cautious about getting involved with someone who struggles with depression or other kinds of mental illness in some way. And when I say mental illness, that's a very broad statement, let me just say. It doesn't mean they just got out of the institution yesterday. But that's not the kind of energy nor the kind of thing that at this point in your life you need to be taking on, nor needs to be a part of the mix in terms of what you're dealing with in a relationship.
Okay.
So,
sounds good.
All right, so I see we are about out of time on the air.
Alive, port. So right. If you're listening and you're in the queue, we have three people, still in the queue. One from area code 229, one from area code 913, and one from area code 770. If you're still in the queue, we will be able to get to you. If you hear the live show cut off, don't panic, because we'll still be there and the show will continue to be recorded and you can listen back to it in the archives or on iTunes as a podcast. So if you're listening live, the show will end or cut off in a couple of minutes, but you can always listen to the rest of the show in the archives or on iTunes. So
thanks, guys.
Sure. All right, so Yvonne, allow me to I want to share a little bit of what I've got for you as well. It's kind of different from and kind of the same in terms of what High C's offered you. I see also that there is some wound that is untended, and it manifests itself in some way in kind of in self-sabotage. Right. So now these typically self-sabotage happens when we're operating from a blind spot. Right, and this is where, you know, I always find that my biggest breakthroughs happen when a blind spot is discovered and becomes visible to me. And the reason that those are the big breakthroughs is because all the other stuff I can see, right? And if I can see it, I can work on it. If I can't see it, I can't work on it until it becomes visible. And I'm sensing that one of the reasons why counseling might be helpful for you is because there's a blind spot somewhere that is ripe for tending if you could only see it. Right? So this might be why it's not resonating for you, that you can't really see what it is High C's pointing to, because it's in that spot, you know, that blind spot where none of your rearview mirrors will illuminate it for you, will show it to you. But I think that, you know, that it's being called forward suggests, especially given the rest of the cards that are in front of me, suggests that it's ripe. And so if you get a little bit of help to help you see it, it'll probably unfold very nicely. And here's why I say that. The next three cards, one is the Warrior Queen, the Gift of Charm. One is the Major Arcana card, Pan, that fellow in the woods who represents wildness, joy, and pleasure. And the Warrior Six card, which would be the equivalent of the Six of Wands, and it's entitled No Foe Too Great. So it looks like once you break through, once you get working on this little spot that seems to be ripe for repair, a lot of your natural beauty and charm will come out. And you'll find yourself in a place of surprising freedom where your wild nature, you know, we think of wildness in a lot of different, you know, wildness means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But in this case, I'm thinking of the natural state of joy and exuberance that we as human animals can experience. And I see that is also just around the corner, and that you are in a place where your natural power is gonna light you up. You're gonna shine. So a lot of positive stuff is sort of just below the surface, just on the other side of this next transition. Now I would say that you know, when you contemplate this, it's great to have that to look forward to, but be patient with it and allow it to unfold in its own natural way. Now, what does this have to do with relationships? Okay, it really has to do with you know, we find ourselves in relationship, in the healthiest relationships, when we come from a place where we are being and living our most true and natural selves. So instead, you know, I counsel most of my clients in this direction. Instead of looking for a relationship, look for the environment that makes you feel healthy, and put yourself in that environment as often as possible, because it is in that place where other people who feel healthy in that environment are going to find themselves. And that's where you're going to find a relationship that is the most delightful and the healthiest. So I see a lot of positive stuff coming for you where if you can just unlock a little bit more of your innate charm, your innate joy, and your innate power, you're going to do great.
Good.
So good. That's good news for you. But there is some work that maybe you need a little help to uncover. But I think it's ripe. So I think you'll be successful in doing that. Just get a little help.
Okay. And thank you very much.
And just for a little bit of kind of more traditional practical aspect, I think that the kind of person that will be coming into your life and that would be right for you at this point is represented by the King of Swords. So it's someone who knows who they are and has kind of figured out and worked through some things, especially some painful aspects in themselves and in their lives, so that they're now at a much more healthy but also in control place of who they are. but also that can indicate someone who is extremely intelligent, who may be a writer, who may come from the fields of politics or academia or science or research, engineering or high tech sometimes can fall into that for that card. If they come from the medical field, then they're going to come from a more research kind of oriented side or a more mental kind of side, like someone who is a therapist, rather than somebody who's kind of like a bedside doctor kind of role.
Yes, yeah, so we're talking about a thinker.
Yeah. So I think that's also, I just wanted to toss it in there because that's also another aspect or another set of criteria you can use to look out for as people come into your life about whether they may be the right person for you at this time.
Okay. These guys have been a lot of help to me.
Well, it's a joy to do this work, so thank you very much for calling in.
Yes,
thank you.
Enjoy your holiday.
I need you the same. Happy New Year.
Okay,
all right, thanks. So next, we jump over to Georgia, where we're going to talk to Melvin in Georgia. Are you there, Melvin?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Melvin. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. So I think that you had a relationship situation you'd like for us to look at.
Yes, sir. I had a friend that was staying with me. We were like friends and stuff in college, and she left me. She left about a month and maybe 3 weeks, close to 2 months. And I just want to know, like, so there'll be a reconnect, and if not, will I be in a relationship?
Okay.
Yes.
So first of all, for the relationship you're asking about with the person that you knew since college, that I think is a little bit more of a, it's almost like it's more of a fantasy situation than it is a real situation. And so like the card that came up representing that relationship for me, I often call the Harlequin romance card. So uh-huh. it's kind of where we look at it and we have kind of this fantasy image of the person or the situation that if we tried to translate that down into the real world aspect of things or everyday life, it wouldn't really hold up. So I think that this is something for you to maybe just enjoy as more of a dream or a fantasy than something to count on becoming something more substantial or real. However, that's not to say that you're never going to have a relationship, because there's also a strong indication here that there will be a new relationship for you probably around September. For me, it's Ace of Pentacles, which is the beginning of fall. So, and for me, that's fall equinox, which is like September 20th-ish. But around that time, around the beginning of fall, seems to be a very key time as when a new relationship will come into your life, and it will be something that is sustainable and viable for the long term. So it's something very real, very solid, and something that has the ability to be able to last. So I don't know that it's with this particular person you're asking about. I wouldn't anticipate that, because I think that's something more to just kind of enjoy for what it is rather than trying to make it into something else. But mm-hmm. there seems to be something coming around the beginning of fall. And it doesn't mean that it wouldn't appear until then, but it would be around the beginning of fall that you would start to realize this is becoming something very real or very long term. Or has that potential. But I think that's when you'll really start to feel as if the kind of relationship you may be wanting in terms of a long-term relationship will really be developing and be something real that you see happening for you in your life.
Okay.
So, John?
Okay.
Well, let's see what we have here. Can you hear those cards shuffling?
Why, yes, we can.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, the first card that came for you is the Major Arcana card. Wow. 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 Okay. The Major Arcana card, that is the Chariot. So this card represents, as I'm feeling it for you, this is about you choosing to stand in your power. So there's opportunity here, and this is typical of my kind of readings, is I'll focus on you, more on you and less on the circumstances that might emerge. Because you're the one that I'm closest to in energetically, right? So here's this Chariot, right? And the images in this deck, the images of a person riding a winged horse with a blaze of the sun behind him in full solar eclipse. So there's a corona of the sun, a black sphere obscuring the body of the sun, and this amazing winged horse, and a figure with arms outstretched riding into the sky. So if you can imagine the forces that come together to place you in the saddle of a winged horse with your back to a solar eclipse, that's a statement of pretty significant power being harnessed for you. Now, but the thing is, the only person that can do that is you. You have to actually cultivate, gather your strength and gather your power. This, you know, for a lot of people, this means doing deep healing work. It means excavating cleaning out the closets of your psyche and so on and so forth. Sometimes this means just realizing who you are and not allowing others to define who you are, and recognizing that you're a special person, right? And you got stuff going on, you know, you're a good guy. And feeling like, you know what, I'm a good guy. I mean, I know it sounds silly, like that shouldn't be necessarily a hard thing to say, but I know that in my life there have been times when I like question, am I a good guy? You know, like am I a nice guy? Am I a good guy? Am I a worthwhile person to hang around with? And this card says, claim it, be it, right? And the second card that I got for you is a Major Arcana card, which is the World, which says, if you can claim your goodness, if you can claim your power, step into your power, and choose to activate it, well, the world is your oyster. And that's, you know, that's really good news. That's like, yeah, if you can claim yourself as yourself and step into the role of being who you really are and loving yourself and appreciating yourself, the world is going to respond. And the world will respond in ways that are suitable for you. And if that means finding love, well, all you need to do is be yourself. it sounds silly, but that's what that's what the cards are saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd also like to just toss in there that when I lay out cards like for a relationship specifically, I draw a card for you, I draw a card for the other person, I draw a card for the relationship. And John's card that came up was the Chariot card. The card that came up for the other person that you were asking about was the reversed Chariot card. And so the Chariot card is all about moving forward with something, or something is on the right path and moving in the right direction. So the fact that his card was the Chariot card for you, because he's much more focusing on you, and the card that came up for this other person you were asking about being the reversed Chariot card would just perhaps reemphasize that trying to establish a relationship with that person isn't necessarily the best direction to go at this time. And therefore, we need you to just get on with moving down your path in life, because there are other relationships waiting for you down that path. So don't get stuck or start spinning your wheels waiting for something here when there's something else waiting for you down the road.
Right, exactly.
And what's waiting for you, the person in the relationship position and high seas reading being the reverse Chariot, sounds to me like that person is waiting for you to reverse, to turn that Chariot card upside right and be, you know, take action, go for it, be the person that person is waiting for you to be you.
The person that I asked for?
The person, yeah, and the person that you're, let's say it this way, your soulmate is out there waiting for you to get on that winged horse and ride. And when you do that, they'll be there.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it's this woman that you were just hanging with. That could be a completely different person.
Right, right.
But you'll find that person when you ride the Chariot.
And by doing that, I need to just be myself?
Be yourself, go after what you want, move in the direction that you want to go in your life, and don't wait for other people to catch up to you for that. So you don't need to pull over to the side of the road until this other person catches up to you and is ready for a relationship with you. You need to just keep moving down the road, because that relationship person that's right for you is waiting for you to come to them rather than someone who's going to catch up to you.
Right. Okay. So on my journey, as I move forward into things that I want to do in life, I will just move right into the direction of the woman that, you know, waiting on me.
Right, they'll be sitting right there on a bench by the side of the road waiting for you to get to them.
Man, wow, okay. Because I have a lot of things going on with me right now, and I'm trying to finish up school. I have like 8 classes remaining in college and to get my degree in middle grade education. So trying to finish up by next year, at least by the spring of next year, fall maybe, fall, spring, something in that area. And just want to get, and with my finances, that's why I asked about my finances, because I owed the college like $1,600 and I maxed out of my tuition, and I'm having trouble trying to get back in school to finish up these 8 classes.
Well, the Chariot card and also some of the other cards that came up for me say, don't hide away in your cave, or don't hide away because of that. It's time to come out of your shell, go out and move forward looking for doing what you want to do, looking for relationships, etc., rather than thinking you need to wait until you finish school or wait until you have your finances in order. Don't wait on those things to be putting yourself out there looking for and moving towards relationship.
Yeah, okay.
Take the reins, my man. Take the reins.
Yes, sir. Okay. And is there any way I can ask one more question about my job?
Well, we need to limit it to just one question, because we still have a couple of more people we need to get to before the show time actually finishes.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Do reach out to us again, though.
Yeah, we do this call-in show the last Sunday of every month, or the fourth Sunday of every month, I should say. So, you know, feel free to call in again.
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right.
Thank you all so much, and God bless what you do.
All right. Good luck.
Enjoy your holiday.
All right. Same here.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. So now we'll dash right along to area code 913. Are you there?
Hi.
Yes, who is this?
My name is Andy, and thank you so much for hanging on and taking my call. I've really enjoyed the show and learned a ton.
Thanks, Andy. Sure. Thanks for joining.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Kansas.
From Kansas. All right. I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri.
You did.
I did.
Not so far from there. I'm in Overland Park.
Oh, yes. So what is it that you'd like to ask us to look at today?
I'm interested in 2013 regarding some financial stuff. I'm in graduate school, and I've got a few more years to complete my doctoral work, but I'm doing some research work for a professor, but I'm needing to increase my cash flow. So I'm looking at applying to some corporate positions. And I just wondered if you had any advice or any information regarding that.
Do you want us to look at just the finances and that kind of thing in general, or do you want us to look specifically, do you have some specific jobs that you've been interested in pursuing that you want us to look at and see if they're the right ones for you to pursue, or just look at it more generally?
I guess my real question is, I'm sort of torn at the moment between, you know, as a grad research assistant, and I enjoy working with this professor a lot, but the actual research work is rather a bit tedious, and it's not paying terribly well, but you know, it may pay off in terms of what I'm learning and how it can help me in the future, but I'm sort of wondering, should I shift my focus to pursuing more part-time or more hours, I should say, in the corporate world? So it's a little bit more of, I guess, a question of shifting the academic focus to getting some more cash focus.
Is there a way to actually combine the two? To continue doing some hours research, but then also do a part-time job to supplement?
Because
that's more of what I would see here, is kind of neither option wants to be the sole option combining or using a combination of the two. Okay. In order to achieve your goals. And I think that's because, like, part of what you said, some of the payoff from doing the research work is going to serve you very well in your studies and the degree you're pursuing and that kind of thing. And I think it's very helpful or stimulating for that. So we don't want to lose that just to go get a job, versus still at least having one foot there, so it helps to give a bit of a balance. So even if you're out working at just a job, you still have some time that you also are engaged in that academic side still, rather than sacrificing it completely. Because one of the main cards that came up here is the Eight of Cups reversed, and that's in the side for you, the research that you're doing now, the research assistant side. And Eight of Cups upright would be about letting go of something and moving on or moving away from it. But the fact that it's reversed, meaning it came up upside down, says it's not time, or this is not something that we need to be letting go of or walking away from at this time or in the near future. It came up kind of in the near future position.
Okay.
So I wouldn't want you to completely sacrifice that just to go get a job, versus maybe if it means you cut back on some hours, that's okay, in order to make time or room for having a part-time job. But don't completely let go of or move away from the research assistant aspect that you've been doing, because it's going to pay off in the long term. It's part of the gradual progress that you're making, or the overall development that you're in.
Okay. Great.
Andy, can I ask, what is the nature of your research?
Sure. I'm pursuing nursing research, and the focus has just sort of shifted to caregivers. And there's such an issue that's currently happening and will be happening more with baby boomers caring for parents, you know, as well as grandkids and what have you. And it's about supporting caregivers and looking at maybe even more scientifically about some of the changes in the brain that go along with this.
The changes in the brain of the caregiver?
Yes.
Ah, okay. All right. So I want to share the first card that I got for you is the Magician, right? Which is a sense that everything.
I'm just going to jump in here and say that the first card that came up for me as well was the Reversed Magician. I'm just saying. Okay, continue.
All right. Okay. So the Magician. This is an indication that everything you need is at hand, right? The power to shape your future is yours if you recognize it, right? You have to recognize that you are the controller of your destiny, and you draw on whatever tools and relationships and people and resources that are at your disposal, because they are at your disposal, right? And they're meant to be at your disposal. If you treat them with respect, if you treat the resources that you have with respect, they're there for you. Now, the next two cards that I got for you, very interesting. One was the Six of Pentacles. In this deck, it's called the Maker Six, and it's entitled Generosity. And in parallel with that, I've got the Three of Swords, Dreamer Three, and in this case it's called Soul Loss. And so I looked at these two cards and I thought, wow, this is an interesting contrast. One is this, you know, when you said that the research was tedious,
mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, the last thing we want you to be doing is soul killing research. You know what I mean? Like that's not a good place to be. You know, being a doctoral student is tough enough as it is. But then it was coupled with this generosity card, which says, but there's something precious about giving in the way that you're giving, because it will be reciprocated. Now,
I have to validate that for you, because this professor, even though the work that I'm doing is tedious, she's just absolutely wonderful and absolutely generous. And you just nailed it.
Well, so here's what's interesting. You said the shift was from nursing to caregiving. And I think that, you know, there's a very big difference between the clinical environment of nursing, where it can be our healthcare system is so dysfunctional, and nurses bear the brunt of it, and it's like heartbreaking to watch. And if we shift our notion from nursing, which is sort of caught in this clinical dysfunction, to caregiving, which is something that everyone does and everyone is called to do. And if we can learn how to be better caregivers, and if we can analyze what facilitates caregiving, that's not just going to be in the healthcare field. That's going to be everywhere. So you asked about corporate work. My suggestion is that there is a place for you. I don't know how it will manifest itself, where you have the opportunity to cultivate this notion of the discipline of caregiving that you can get paid for.
Yes.
I don't know how or what it looks like for you out there, or where you might look, but somehow this is like there's some confluence of these two aspects, where if you can find yourself in a place of giving to this higher notion of care, that generosity card will take over, and the soul draining aspect of the research will be diminished. And in fact, the focus of the research might actually change so that it's not so soul draining.
That's great.
So I think I can speak to where the focus may end up going.
Okay.
Based on both the cards that came up for John as well as some things here. I think that you may end up going in a direction where you are directly working in the realm of either caregiving and or hospice work.
Okay.
And I think it will probably come ultimately manifest in the form of you being like a project manager or a director or somebody who kind of oversees that kind of work or facility or manages that kind of group or something like that, whether it be that group in a hospital or an actual hospice or something like that. And so part of, I think, what he's also indicating is that maybe starting to get a part-time job in a hospice facility, in a caregiving facility, so that you, in essence, are doing the work that you're also researching. You become a caregiver through what you're getting paid to do in a part-time job. That means you become almost like your own personal case study of the research you're doing.
Right.
And I think that's how we see at this point the combination of the two, rather than quitting the research part in order to just get a job, but how the research as well as the part-time job, but especially the research in the long term, will then develop or progress or kind of pay off in the long term, because it's what grew out of that research led you down the direction of what you end up doing for your career.
Great.
And the last card that I received, the last card that I received for you, Andy, is it's in my deck. It's Warrior Eight, or would be the Eight of Wands. And in this deck, it's called Dragonflight. And in the scene, there's a whole bunch of dragons in the sky, and there is a woman standing just behind the head of the dragon as it's flying through the air. Flames issuing from its nose and mouth, and she's just like, she's so confident that she can ride this dragon, that she can take this journey. I think that's a call to you to really be a player in this realm.
Thank you so much. That's so It's not only reassuring, it just kind of reaffirms why I'm doing this. And, you know, we all need to sort of know that we're on the right path, because it sort of is a thing where at 3 in the morning you wonder, why the hell am I doing this sometimes?
And I will – go ahead.
With some tedious coursework that's rather – non-applicable, and you wonder, why am I doing this again?
And I will say that the card that he was just talking about for me also often indicates travel, especially like long distance travel or foreign travel.
Okay.
And because of the dragon aspect, I also think that perhaps exploring the modalities, the approach, and also just the perspective and mentality towards caregiving, and even if you want to go towards death and hospice care in the Eastern world, may play a big part or inform a direction or an aspect that you end up taking in your career.
That's good, Heisi. I like that. I like that. That fits.
So, you know, it's like, it makes me think, like a woman that I know who worked for a long time in the neonatal intensive care, but she also was a Reiki practitioner, and she was able to see how she could incorporate that Eastern, you know, approach in the Western setting, rather than them being at odds with each other. And I think that if, you know, you moving in a direction of having a focus in your career, perhaps around the caregiving or the hospice realm, but also bringing in, and that's where the travel may come in. Either you end up traveling over to, you know, China or Japan or India or someplace in the East to see some of their approaches and some of their perspectives and attitudes towards caregiving and death and hospice care and all of that will both inform you, as well as you would then bring that back and incorporate that into, say, how you would manage a caregiving or a hospice facility and incorporate aspects or programs or treatments or things that normally aren't a part of that just from the Western approach. So I think that's also something for you to consider starting to explore or work with or find what it is that resonates for you about that, because I think that's going to be something important there as well.
Great. Thank you. I'll leave you with my mentor, the professor I'm doing the research work for, is from Korea. So there may be some connection there. So thank you so much for the validations.
Sure.
Well, good luck. Check back in. Let us know how it goes.
I will. Thank you.
And send us a copy of your doctoral dissertation when you finally got those letters after your name.
All right. Thank you both. Happy holidays.
Thanks. You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. And now, our final caller of the day. And this is going to be from area code 770. Are you there from area code?
I'm
Hello.
Here.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Val. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, welcome to the show, Val.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. What is it that you'd like to ask about for us to look at today?
I recently moved to Georgia, and I kind of feel like maybe it was a mistake, like just as far as, everything that I want to happen for me, I just feel like it won't happen here. And originally from California, and I don't know if I should go back. I'm sorry.
What was your impetus for moving to Georgia?
My mom brought a house here, and we had property in California, but we don't have that property anymore. So I just came to kind of see, if I liked it or whatever. But, I mean, I kind of like it, but I just feel like spiritually this is just not the place.
Well, it's a big shift from California to Georgia. Where in California were you?
In West L.A.
West L.A. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, and you're in Atlanta now?
Yeah.
Well, Atlanta and L.A. are practically the same, aren't they?
Well, it's really clean and pretty out here. So I kind of like that and the trees and everything. So I don't know. Because I am like spiritual and I meditate and I kept hearing like transitions, so I kind of feel like I don't know.
So
where I need to actually settle is in New York, maybe, because that kind of reminds me of a class between Atlanta and California, because it's kind of still more city, but you get the trees and the snow and all that type of stuff.
So when you say that you were hearing transition,
mm-hmm.
was that when you were in California and something coming to you that you needed to make a transition?
Yeah, and it seems like since I've been in Georgia, it just seems like I'm just getting like so many different signals that it's confusing me. I'm like, when I was in California, one day the Holy Spirit just came over me and I just started hearing, like, clearly, you know, like, there's a change, and everything felt like it was supposed to happen, and it felt good, and I feel like I am supposed to be in Georgia, but I feel like I'm not supposed to set roots here.
Right.
And I'm kind of, like, feeling, like, antsy, like, I'm just, like, ready to move, but where, I have no idea. So I'm wondering, like, do you sense where I need to go?
Okay.
So I can, like, start preparing for that.
Well, so first of all, the cards that came up for me are certainly going to reiterate and validate what you've been feeling. One of the big things that came up was the Queen of Pentacles reversed, which says where you're at right now is not some place where you will be settling down or putting roots down. And the first card that came up, which probably is the biggest card here, is the reversed death card. And the death card is ultimately a card that represents major transformation or transition. And so the fact that it's reversed would say that it's almost as if going to Georgia. So think of a symbol of transition or transformation being the butterfly. So the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and then becomes the butterfly. It's almost as if going to Georgia is your cocoon phase.
Yeah, I saw myself going across the ocean, and I saw a mermaid. I was like, what does a mermaid represent? But, yeah, I've grown, like, a lot here. Grown a lot.
So a mermaid can represent the ability to straddle two worlds, both the water realm and the earth realm. And so it's going deeper into the water realm, which is like the spiritual realm and that kind of thing, but it's not losing touch with the earth realm or the everyday realm. And the death card reversed would say that allow for a bit of time to just cocoon. And you know what happens when a caterpillar goes into a cocoon is it actually completely dissolves. I think people think the caterpillar just sprouts wings, but it actually just dissolves into this goo that's called imaginal cells, which I love the name, because it says first we have to let go of everything and allow ourselves to completely just dissolve into nothingness. And then the imaginal cells hold unlimited potential and possibility. Our imagination is unlimited in what we can become or who we can become. So this particular period of time in Georgia allows you the opportunity to let go of everything you ever thought that you were in order for a new you to emerge. And that's what we want to allow for a bit of time to happen. I would look at this and say that probably not until the fall would you be making the major move. So you probably will be there for just a little bit more time. But that doesn't mean you can't be planning and looking towards making another move between now and then. So that, though, I think would indicate we wouldn't want you there after the fall. So I would want you moving from Georgia by the fall. And the card that actually comes at the end is the Six of Swords, which is often a card that represents travel and especially travel over water. So there may be something about what you were getting in terms of foreign travel or moving to a foreign place. You may come back to California, as you mentioned, places that you were considering, like New York, and I went ahead and did California as well, since that's where you came from. And we can certainly pull cards for more other specific places if you also have those in mind. But New York is the reversed moon card. I'm not quite sure. I mean, New York would allow you the ability to start anew, but I don't know that it's the place for you to end up. Versus the card that came up for California is called the Master. So that can both represent the kind of spiritual masters that you may need or be seeking to help you continue to grow and evolve spiritually would be found here rather than there, as well as being in California may help you to move into who you are as a master. Master can mean teacher, but it can also indicate you coming into mastery of yourself and your spirit evolving into a sense of being a master of who you have the potential to be. So I think California still plays a very significant role in what it has to offer you and what you can gain from being in California ultimately.
Okay. And did you say anything about Europe?
Well, I think Europe in general, I would say yes, because we have that travel card or the Six of Swords, which would indicate that. And then pulling a card for that comes up with, it's the Lover's card. It's number six. So that would indicate, first of all, that's a card of right timing and direction, but it also is the card that represents 2013. So I would say that probably from Georgia, you will go to someplace foreign in Europe. And 2013 is a good time to do that, and probably in the latter part of 2013 would be the key time to consider doing that based on the other cards here, because that would be after the fall. So you can be making all the plans and arrangements, but by fall we would want you to then be there. And, you know, the Lover's card is often the card of the soulmate. Now, soulmate doesn't have anything to do with romantic relationship necessarily. So it seems as if there, but it does represent past life connection or karmic connection. It seems as if you will find your soulmate. You will feel as if you have found your union with where you need to be by going to Europe. So use this time to start exploring what opportunities and places there are for you to go over there, because that seems to be where we would want you to be going next. You may ultimately end up in California because of that MasterCard, but that doesn't have to be the next place you go to. I think that's just the place you may end up, ultimately. But Europe, I think, is much more indicated to be where you would go from Georgia.
Okay.
And things will just fall into place. With that Lover's card, there's a sense that synchronicity happens and things seem to just fall into place to make something happen or to move us in a particular direction. So if you start putting that intention out and start doing the research and start doing work towards just saying, I'm going to Europe, now let me see how and where and when and all of that, you'll find that things just kind of seem to pop up and fall into place for that to move forward. So really pay attention to people that you meet seemingly randomly, or information that you come across seemingly coincidentally, because all of those are synchronicities. And
okay.
The key to synchronicity is that we notice it and we take action on it.
Okay,
so if I can share a little bit about what I got for you. The first card that came up for you was the World, the major tarot card, the World, which would suggest that you really have, there's no limitations to be put on yourself. And interestingly, in conjunction with that card, I pulled the Ace of Pentacles and the Ace of Cups, both reversed, but this ties into your mermaid, okay? The earth element and the water element are represented in these two cards in their most fundamental form. So now that they're reversed, I guess the way I would read this is that less literally and more internally, right? That, like, within you, there's this opportunity to blend the flowing nature of spiritual and intuitive work with the concrete nature of working with the earth and with the material world. And I think in conjunction with the World card, it's really, that's the map for you to craft whatever future you desire, right? And so being in Georgia, in the cocoon, as High C is talking about it, really does fit this story, where you're spending some time internally to blend the two aspects of yourself, the practical working person and the intuitive feeling person. Now, but with regards to not knowing what to do, you know, I did get a card that said, yeah, this is, the Eight of Swords in my deck is called Dreamer Eight, and it's the Web of Mirrors. This is where you're just thinking about it too much. It's just
yeah,
you know,
that's
what's
happening. I feel like I'm driving myself like nuts.
So don't do that. You know, I got several cards that indicate just let go of the idea of having this big responsibility that you have to solve. This is not a puzzle to solve. This is a moment to be lived. Relax and take responsibility for cultivating your own truth and your own self. Right? But don't worry about where you are or where you're going or whether you're in the right place. Just allow yourself to be for a little while. And the last card that I got for you actually was the Death card. So, and for me, it's death up, in my reading, it's death upright, but it's the last card. So it says that this transition period is happening, and but, you know, not overthinking it, just cultivating your own truth, you know, going inside to merge this intuitive self and practical self. You really get to define your future. So instead of thinking about what is the right thing to do, feel into who you want to become.
Okay.
And when you've gathered that, when you feel like you've gathered that, that's when the Death card comes in and says, okay, now you're free to go do that. That's the transition
That's the transition moment. Or that's when the cocoon can be unzipped and you can come out as the butterfly.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Only thing I'm just sometimes it's hard for me to even make sense, like, what is it that I want? But I feel like I'm not enjoying life. Just the small things, that's what's really driving me nuts. Like, just going to go see a movie or just being able to do, like, those little things for myself. That's what's driving me nuts. Like, I want to get out of here now. And normally I would get these feelings in the past, and, like, within a couple of weeks, then I would – another door would open, and now it's happening and the door isn't opening, or just the opportunity isn't presenting itself.
This is a time of year where stillness is called for, right? So, you know, this idea of spending time in, you know, I would say spend a bunch of time in meditation. Get comfortable with yourself, being alone with yourself, and there's a couple of reasons for this. First of all, when we spend time alone with ourselves, we are compelled to get to know ourselves. There's no distraction that takes us away from who we are, right? And that can be a very productive exercise, because we get to a place where we recognize things about ourselves that we don't like, and then we have a real catalyst, a real point, pivot point for expressing and endeavoring to make change. And the other thing that happens is when you spend a lot of time with yourself, you get to know yourself and you get to know your heart. You get to know what's calling you. So for what I would say is, you know, you're in Georgia. Spend time alone.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time outside in nature.
Yeah, which I love to do. Well, you know what you said, it did just make sense, because I didn't think about that. I've been spending time thinking about the stuff I don't like about myself. And just as you spoke it, I need to think about the stuff that I do like about myself too.
Yeah.
Thinking about everything that I needed to change, and it makes sense. Because I have enjoyed myself. I do need to embrace who I've become, and I wasn't doing. I was driving myself so nuts that I couldn't get that point to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
And I think that the mermaid aspect may encourage you to spend more time in and near water. And that can be whether that's taking baths or sitting on the beach, but being in or near water or on a lake or whatever. But being in or near water, I think, is probably very important. And mermaids are spiritual messengers. So they bring messages from the deep up to the surface. And what John was talking about, when we're overthinking, as well as if you spend more time in meditation, what you're doing is you're allowing the noise that drowns out the messages that are trying to come from spirit to actually come to the surface and be heard. So if you can stop working so hard to figure it out and think about it, you may actually hear the messages or information that you're seeking. It's just getting drowned out by the noise of your head. And, you know, the I Ching card that came up is I Ching, I mean, hexagram number 8 called Holding Together. It actually shows schools of fish in the water.
Oh, that's mermaids. Seeing an 8, and I didn't know what does it mean again?
Eights are numbers of tangible manifestation, and starting to see how something we've been looking for or working towards is coming into being. But it also is a number that represents recalibration and readjustment. So it's the willingness to adjust or calibrate to what is coming into being, rather than trying to force something to be the way that we think it should be. You know, the hexagram number 8, Holding Together, actually is about teamwork and cooperation and participation. One thing that may indicate is getting involved in things that you believe in, where you're working with other people for a common cause or for a common goal, may help to stimulate you enjoying yourself and your time there more. And I also think that going to Europe will end up being a part of a group or a team or a membership of something. So whether it's like a spiritual group or a religious group, and that's the at least the initial way that you get over there, or the kind of focus or work that you do when you go over there initially, that's also something to, I think, pursue and investigate.
Okay. That makes sense.
So.
All right. Well, thank you guys very, very, very much.
And thank you for staying on, holding on for as long as you did.
No problem. Thanks for still taking the call.
Sure. And enjoy the holiday, and we'll look forward to a postcard from Europe.
All right. You guys have a happy new year.
Thank you. Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And, John, I do believe that might bring us to the end of our show.
Well, I think it was a good one, and I'm glad to have been able to participate.
Yes. Well, and we are very grateful to everyone that called in and everyone that is listening. And just a reminder that, A, the live call-in show happens every fourth Sunday of the month, which usually is the last Sunday of the month. So feel free to call in and or tell your friends to call in if you would like a reading on the air. You can always find out more about us or interact with us if you have questions or comments at facebook.com/fireflywillows. Archives of the show are available on Blog Talk Radio as well as our website at fireflywillows.com/live. And you can listen to those shows anytime. They're also available on iTunes as a podcast that you can download or subscribe to anytime. And we're looking forward to 2013 because we have some new shows coming under the Firefly Willows Live channel. One of those, I'm happy to say, has already debuted, called The Amethyst Oracle, which I'm doing with my co-host Charlie Harrington, and that's on the second Tuesdays of each month. But if you tune in, you'll be hearing more information about those shows that are getting ready to come up. I don't know if you have anything to say about any of those shows, John, or shall we just leave them waiting?
So I'll just highlight that A Shamanic Life will be a show that's debuting in January, so stay tuned for that as well. Just stay in touch with us, because we have a lot of interesting things coming down the wire.
Yes. So thank you to everybody listening and who called in. Thank you, John, for joining me today to do this.
Thank you, Hi-C, for your excellent hosting.
And as always, we're here every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., and we look forward to having you join us next week and in 2013. Until then, we say ciao.
Happy holidays.
And Happy New Year.